This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win, order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required, points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Guess?
You are watching and listening to Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favourite podcasts.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
With Chris and Craig on Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter.
Right, Chris.
All right there. All right at the back. How the devil are you all? Welcome along. It's Leicester Till I Die. How are we feeling? You've got to be feeling better, haven't we? Dare I say it? We're back. Might be pushing it, but you, I live in hope. I'm a Leicester fan. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. Good evening. This is where you can watch us and listen to us.
Watch us on YouTube. Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Yes, how are we feeling? It's the return of Claudio. He's back. It's going to be nice to see him again, isn't it? I'm sure he's going to get an amazing welcome, even though obviously he is with Watford. It is another home game for us. Problem is, we've lost the last two Premier League home games by an aggregate score of 5-0. Not sounding good. But on the plus, only Norwich City have scored the opening goal in fewer Premier League games than Watford. Well, that means Watford are going to do it then, doesn't it? And we do like to give teams a lead. It is the Premier League preview show. And it is Chris and Craig, and this is the main event.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the main event of the evening. 60 minutes of football fun and banter with Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV. Are you ready? Ready? Let's get ready to rumble.
And we'll say good evening to the thinking man's Jeremy Clarkson. Craig, good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. The thinking man's Jeremy Clarkson. It seems to have gone out downhill in the last few weeks. I used to get described as the older woman's crumpet. And now I'm the thinking man's Jeremy Clarkson.
Well, you know, these women can't have too much crumpet out there. And I'm afraid they have got Julian Watts.
That's true. Yeah, so I'm well down the pecking order. I know my place.
Yeah, you may be Leicester City to his Manchester United, but believe you me, I'm his Norwich City. So let's take what you've got, Craig. And the thinking man's Jeremy Clarkson. Does that make you James May?
Oh, I need to let my hair go a bit wilder, don't I, for that?
You do. He doesn't like the old hairdressers, does he?
No, I'm not sure he likes a lot, to be honest. He's quite laconic, but...
Oh, yeah. There's a big word for...
Look that one up, kids.
I'll look that one up as well. Talking to kids, you might want to ask your parents about this. But Craig, what were you doing this day in 1927?
I think I was just coming back from my first day at school.
Wait, well, I can believe. But did you know on this day that the first commentary from Filbert Street captured the drama as Leicester City beat Newcastle United 3-0 in what was Division One? Arthur Chandler grabbed the goals for City and Arthur Lockhead completed the scoring.
You know what, Chris? I did not know that.
That should have been your quiz question.
It could have been, yeah. So you would have got me on that one.
That was on this day in history, and I think we should test Craig every one of these we do. I think that would be totally fair. Very quickly, before we get on to the return of Claudio, I've got another quiz question for you then, actually. Where does Delia Smith live?
Where does Delia Smith live? That's a very good question. I'm going to say it's not Norwich.
Well, I can tell you exactly where she lives. She lives on Let's Be Avenue.
A message for the best possible supporters in the world. Me and 12 men here, where are you? Let's Be Avenue! Come on!
A very brave woman giving her address out in the middle of the pitch, I thought.
Are you just sort of setting the level, Chris? Is that what you're doing here?
No. The level's been set low for weeks. Well, you know.
I wonder whether you're going to get done on the trade description, because on the intro bit, you say 60 minutes of fun and banter. So when does that start?
Well, I'm the fun and banter. I don't know exactly what you are.
I bet there's probably a rhyming slang somewhere for me.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's where she lives, Let's Be Avenue. I was quite pleased with that when I thought of that earlier.
What are you going to do when we play Norwich?
I'll repeat it, don't worry. I'll bring it back. No, I think that will get a many an airing just on its own. I think it is... You know, they say that the club owners don't care, but, you know.
In fact, I'm just thinking, I almost gave out an answer then, because I remember I've got that is referred to in the Norwich quiz questions. Now, remember when we were doing the quiz and we had the Norwich fan lined up.
Yes.
And he dipped out twice, didn't he? I think
he did.
So we haven't had the Norwich questions, and there's a question about that in there, and I very nearly gave away the answer then.
Well, I tell you what, Norwich fans, I don't know what it is about Norwich fans. They just let me down. Two of them have let me down, so I've kind of given up on them, to be honest with you, as indeed of most of the Premier League. Let's not lie. Yeah. Brad, good evening. Looking forward to the game, more confident after last night's performance. Neil, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? It's the tall one. You're back. Evening, everyone. My God, we won a game convincingly. Someone hold my drink. So I had to look very closely at that, Neil. I'm not going to say what I thought it was, but somebody hold my, oh, yeah, drink. I'm going to faint. Well, you've got a long way to fall, haven't you? That was it. Make sure Ant's near you. You can fall on him. But welcome along. TM, good evening. Hey guys, good evening. Hope you're okay. Please don't mention our game. You know what? I believe, Craig, was it not? Take me notes here. Spurs 1, Miura 2.
I think it was, obviously, yes. You know, but.
And if you don't know who they are, I should actually say they are actually a small football club in North London.
Well, I was going to say, usually, you know, teams raise their game when they come up against European giants, but Spurs didn't seem to do it.
No. Bless you, TM. Welcome along. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I had actually got that written down for earlier. And I've got to say, that wasn't one of mine. I thank Doug from the Dugout Football Channel for that one. He allowed me to use it. And TM, you just crossed the ball over. I had to nod it in. Dan, good evening, sir. How the devil are you? Welcome along. I've not seen you before, so you're more than welcome. Was I dreaming, or did we score from a corner? Look, let's quickly touch on it. Is this an? I mean, I'm scared to say it. But is this a new beginning? Steve Walsh, jokingly in his score predictions for the weekend game, thinks this is a new beginning.
Yeah,
we've had those before, haven't we? This season,
we have indeed. I mean, a couple of things on that. I think one of us went for a 3-1 last night. I'm not sure which one of us that was. Oh, it was me. Yeah. And you might well have been dreaming.
Can I just say it's been a year and about 3 months, and you've been waiting for that to happen. So,
thank you.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you, everyone.
Well done.
Not only did we score from a corner, we didn't concede from one. Now, I'm not sure when that last happened in a game, but I'm not seeing it as a turning of the corner. I think we started the game better. I think we could have still conceded. We lapsed back a little bit second half, which was a little bit worrying. You know, having said that, they did exactly what we asked them to do in the preview show, which was win the game by half time and then manage it through. And they did that by all accounts, really. But I think we could have gone for a fourth goal, because you knew. It would have only taken something out of the blue. They had a few corners and free kicks and things. You get to 3-2, they get one, and then it's very, very nervous time. So I would have liked to have gone for it a little bit more and got a fourth. But then I'm being greedy on the back of what we've seen recently. So all in all, it was a good night.
I mean, watching it as I was on telly, they were saying that Leggy had changed formation at half-time. Went to a back four, which made them more defensive, but then they didn't offer as much in attack in the second half.
No, there wasn't much. It was a bit of a grinding it out. And I'm sure anybody who watched it on TV or who was there, I think in the first half, sort of Madison lit up the game, and then in the second half, the away fans did. So, you know.
And no doubt we'll get fined for that in some reason.
Yeah, hopefully not. But, you know, isn't it just the Leicester City way? We'll get through, we'll get Barcelona coming down from the Champions League, and we'll have to play it behind closed doors.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I was just on a West Ham channel before we came on here tonight, and they said the same. You'll probably get in trouble for it, whether it's the home team's responsibility for this. And it maybe was a bit of handbags at dawn. They were ripping up the seat covers and what have you. But, I mean, you know, how the hell did they get the flares in? That's the question. I mean, I know when I've gone to watch us at Wembley a couple of times, the security there, A, they weren't asking for any proof of COVID, and B, they looked open my bag that I'd got with me, looked in it and shut it. Now, I could have had anything at the bottom of that, and they didn't check it. So,
yeah.
I can't understand whether they're just it's lack security or they sort of left it there when they were building the stadium.
I mean, it's ridiculous, really. The last time I saw that many flares was in Granny's at 1975.
Granny's? That was me. That was probably me.
was it? Yeah.
I love flares.
But yeah, I mean, they've done really well. Whether they've hidden them very well somewhere, I don't know how big those flares were, but they managed to get them through because it looked like the security and the patting down was quite, how shall we say, quite thorough.
Right.
You know, there was quite a queue outside of the away end, and they were taking quite a while to get them through. So whether they managed to get them all smuggled in the middle of the banner that they unfurled just before they set them all off, I don't know. But somehow they managed it.
Did you? Actually, I do have a feeling that I'm being a bit typical. I can't think of the word, but yeah, you know, being Polish, I thought when they built the stadium, they might have sort of, you know, left them there to pick up at a later date. Yeti, good evening. How the devil are you? It would be good if we could play both halves. Hopefully, we'll actually turn up against Watford and get some momentum for Napoli. Brad, when we score from a corner, I knew we'd win. Miracles do happen. Well, if anybody knows about miracles, our version of Jesus does. TM, yes, very greedy. Words and Pictures, Hammers fan, good evening. How the devil are you, sir? The thinking man's Jeremy Clarkson and the drinking man's Jeremy Clarkson. At least you were polite and didn't call me the eating man's Jeremy Parsons, Jeremy Clarkson. So for that, I thank you, sir. Yeti boy, Leicester fans aren't allowed to bring plastic bottles into the ground, but they let away fans bring anything in. Brad says, Napoli do not want second place. This could inadvertently play into our hands. Mm. It's going to be an interesting last game, but it's in our own hands, and that's the thing. We go into that last game, which we always knew was going to be a difficult one. When the draw was made, you know, away to technically the strongest team in the group is not how you want to end up, but
yeah,
that's what it was. So, but nobody's going, you know, if we go to that last game and anybody out the four can basically still go through in some form or another.
That's true. I think at least with the win last night, it did guarantee us more European football. You know, admittedly, we could go into the Europa Conference League, where I was looking at it last night, and there's still some pretty big European names in that competition, obviously, and Spurs. But, you know, so we are guaranteed European football, you know, not necessarily the level that we wanted. But having said that, you know, it may look like it might be our best route to be in the Europa League next season well be by going down and winning that. So even if we did, I think we'll get the result that we need. But even if we did, let's not look at it on a totally negative thing. We're still playing European football into next year.
Copenhagen, they're in the in the Conference League, and we got there. We were played them in the group stages of the Champions League.
Teams like Rapid Vienna, I think, are in it. Mm. You know, there's, you know, have been in Europe for years and years and years. So obviously, you know, a lot of these teams would have been in the Europa League had they not sort of cut it down this year and gone and created the Conference League. But it's in our hands, and I think if you'd have started the competition saying it's in our hands going into the last game, we'd have probably taken it.
Yes. You know, you always would, wouldn't you? Because, like I say, you know, if we win, you know, it's a simple point. We win, we're champions, and you know what you've got to go as. Yeah. Terry says, oh, Craig remembers Granny's, remembers its forerunner, the casino owned by Ted Holt.
I don't, I'm afraid.
No, I don't, Terry, either.
Sorry. Yeah. I changed my mind. I was going to say the horse fair, but I thought I'd say Granny's and bring a few more of the older folk in.
I think Granny's, I remember Granny's. I don't remember the casino. What was one? You know, the clock tower? And then next to the clock tower, and I haven't lived in Leicester now for 40 years, so it has all changed. But you had the Haymarket.
Yeah.
And then up in the corner, there was an entrance. I think you went upstairs, and there was a club upstairs.
Yeah, I think it was called Bailey's.
Bailey's. Was it Bailey's?
Well, there was, somebody I think it was Bailey's, was it? Was it Bailey's? They used to have quite a lot of sort of cabaret, when cabaret was a thing.
They did. I can remember having a first date there with a girl called Debbie, a very, very nice lady, I should say. And we went to see Freddie Starr.
All right, yeah.
Now, you know, I know how to treat a girl. You know?
Welcome to all our yesterdays.
I wonder what ever happened to her. Probably
it's her loss.
Yeah. Oh, you're a gentleman, sir. You're a gentleman. Anyway, enough talk about our disco hugging flair. Oh, I used to love 70s. Flares, kipper ties. Do you remember kipper ties? And the shirts had the big round collars on them. And platform shoes. Did you have a pair of platform shoes?
I didn't. Fortunately, I was tall enough that I didn't need them. And I wasn't going to go with them from a fashion point of view, that's for sure.
Oh, they were brilliant. Mind you, it didn't matter about them because your flares were that big. Exactly. Spend a fortune on shoes and then nobody saw them. Oh, I remember hurting my ankle doing that. But anyway, let's talk about the weekend, Sunday. 28th of November, King Power Stadium. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. We're hosting, as I say, our friend Claudio. It's on BBC Radio Leicester Sport and lcfc.com/radio if you want to listen to it. Actually looking forward to this, Craig?
I am. As much as the game, it will be great to have Claudio back. We've not had a chance to pay homage to him, really, have we, since he left? You know, we never got that sort of going away game, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he was going to retire or anything, so we got a game to say goodbye to him. He was gone, and he's not been back since. So it's going to be great, you know, and I'm sure that he's going to get a fantastic reception before the game. Obviously, as the game goes on, we only want one result, but... But it'll be great just to hear the old dilly ding dilly dong ringing out, as I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, Terry says it was definitely Bailey's. So thank you, Terry. My mind's going back to
you're back to Debbie now, and you're just wondering what's happened to her.
Back to that night, amongst other things. No, I did actually contacted by the BBC, and they're doing a bit of an extra special with it being the return of Claudio. And they asked me sort of some questions, and they sort of said, what sort of reception will he get? And I said, I think the crowd will still love him. You know, it's funny because you're only as good as your last games. And we know the last games under Claudio weren't that brilliant. But what he achieved before that was... We know it was a miracle. It was a miracle.
Yeah.
And he will get, like you say, probably once the whistle goes, I'm sure there'll be lots and lots and lots of chants and cheers. And hopefully he's able to come out and acknowledge the crowd. And knowing Claudio, as I think we do, I think he will do.
I hope so. I hope he comes out a little bit early and as the teams come out and they give him that, they afford it. I would expect the Birch would be there, and hopefully, you know, you never know, because... You know, he's a professional man as well, and he may well be, you know, I'm purely focused on Watford, and he'll take the applause when he comes out to the dugout, but he may not want to do anything other than that. But whatever happens, he'll get a fantastic reception. And he, as you say, you know, you are only as good as your last game. And another nod to the Spurs fans. Obviously, they wouldn't know this, but from a manager's perspective, you're only as good as the last Premier League that you won.
Oh, you want me to play my where I own them again, but I haven't loaded it up. But yeah, and I think you'll get a nice welcome from Top as well, because you know
he came
back. We know when we had the game after the accident where Top the child passed away, but it was obviously different times and a different reason then. But I think he will welcome him back. Oh, and I think, definitely. You know, yes, yeah. This is how it looks at the moment. 12th place. We were third, I think it was, this time last season. 9 more points than we've got now. Watford sat there in 16th place. They're not out of danger yet. And I was surprised when I did this, because I actually thought Watford were higher than that. But
when I looked at the table, what surprised me and almost frightened me was that if they beat us, they go above us.
Yes, yes. This is how tight this decision, you know, this division is. And this is why I'm wondering whether I'm being totally fair or not, because we're 6 points off sixth place, I think, but we're also 6 points off the relegation, so things go either way. But yeah, a win, and you know, the incentive is there for Claudio.
Oh, definitely. You know, he's had a couple of really good results since he's been there. You know, obviously the Manchester United, but what was it? I think 5-2 up away at Everton.
Everton, yes.
Yeah. So you know they've got goals in them, so they're going to be a bit of a threat if we're not on our game. So we can't take them lightly at all. I think it's good for us that Sarr is injured, I understand, so he won't be playing. But they are, you know, you saw that against Manchester United. There's not many stars in that team. You know, if we did another, you know, combined 11, I think it's going to be pretty much all Leicester City again. But we know how Claudio can mould a group of sort of average players into a well-functioning unit, you know, and that's what he seems to be doing. So I don't think there's any way that we can take them for granted, that's for sure.
No, I mean, yeah, it very much reminds me of Leicester. You know, we had no, you know, star players at that point, you know, but you know, that band of brothers, he got us playing. I one of the other things I was asked by the guy at the BBC was this the, you know, was it a good appointment by Watford? And you know, it surprised me, because I didn't think, following the Fulham, his time at Fulham, when he couldn't keep them up, that he wasn't a relegation battling type of manager. But in fairness, Watford have taken him on earlier. So he's got, let's face it, over 2/3 of the season to do it. Yeah. He didn't have that time at Fulham. So I think he could probably do it, to be honest with you.
You know, I think he's shown enough already that he can get some results. I mean, he's already done it against, as I say, against Everton, against Manchester United. And then in other games, they look woeful. You know, it's a bit weird. I think probably the fact that Watford have got Italian owners probably, you know, had some bearing on it as well, in terms of the conversations that he could have with the owners, and maybe a little bit of knowledge of Italian football and bring in some of them, and it'd be interesting to see what they do in January, whether there's any Italian loan signings coming in to try and bolster the squad. But he's definitely, you know, he's still a capable manager. It's whether he's in the right environment where the players buy into it. I don't think he did at Fulham, clearly not. But now, you know, he's more than capable of doing it with the right set of players.
Yes, he is. I mean, then I did wonder when he said, oh, they've had a good result and then sometimes they've been woeful. I had to sort of stop and think, oh, who are you talking about? Because you could almost be describing Leicester there.
Yeah, true. We have been in patches, haven't we? We've been really poor. But, I mean, just thinking about the way the Watford team line up at the moment, in terms of they're quite solid in terms of old school defences and all their paces up front. So they try and get the ball quickly up to them. You know, remind you of any Premiership winning team? So it's almost like he's trying to mould it in a similar thing. He's got Sissoko in the middle of the pitch, who's a sort of grafter and a ball carrier. So there's similarities in the group of players that he's got. And not for any stretch of the imagination do I think they're going to do anything beyond safety, but I think he's more than capable of doing it.
Yeah. Scott said he thinks it will be a fast-paced game from both sides, just hoping we can get one over on Cloud. I just hope we can get the first goal for a change. It would be
well, it was interesting good. That I assume you managed to watch the game last night, did you, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah. So the mood was set from the kickoff, wasn't it, when Daka chased down the defender, sort of won the ball and then barged him into the stand and sort of went through in on goal. And that got the crowd going straight away. So that first 5-10 minutes, we were at the old pace that we used to play at. You know, we were closing people down. Madison wanted the ball. Again, it's interesting that you don't know. With you being at the game, you can look at things that not necessarily get shown because the cameras are following the ball all the time.
Yes.
So Madison was wanting the ball a hell of a lot more than he got the ball. He was constantly demanding it, and he was getting really frustrated at times that they weren't giving him the ball quickly enough. The other thing that was interesting, and I don't know whether this was caught on the cameras as well, was from corners, how we seem to have a bit of a mix now, and it seemed to be a little bit zonal, but a little bit man-for-man as well. Like the second tier of people were man-for-man, to almost stop them getting the run on the zonal ones. So they've sort of mixed it up. And Schmeichel was taking a lot more command in that penalty area. There was one point where he actually physically dragged young Thomas into the position that he wanted him. and he was shouting at them a lot more. I'm down at the side, level with the 18-yard box at that end in front of the cop. And he was a lot more vociferous than he has been. So I think the players realise what's been going on at corners and they definitely seem to have tweaked it a little bit.
There was allegedly supposed to be this conversation that that Rodgers has had with the players when he went in to reaffirm his commitment to Leicester and that, you know, ignore the rumours, guys, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm staying sort of thing. Maybe during that more came out. And maybe that we were talking, I think it was you and Sales, we're talking about maybe some of the players need to speak to Rodgers and say, look, this isn't working for us, guys. Maybe they did have a big old chin wag.
Maybe, you know, he decided that he was going to have one of those open conversations that they're all allowed to say their piece and without any comeback on it. But there was definitely a different mood out there. As I say, they definitely came out of the blocks, that's for sure. And it was interesting that, I think Brendan had taken on board the criticism that he got by criticising the fans because he made the point at the end of the game. I don't know if the cameras cut off and went back to just the drivel that was being talked in the studio. But Brendan came out onto the pitch and he went round the ground clapping the fans, making sure that he was very visible and acknowledging the support that the crowd had given the team that night. So I think he realised that he needed a little bridge building to be going on as well.
That's funny because I was about to ask. Obviously, at the Chelsea game, there was booing at half-time and there was booing at full-time. It's good to see that, I think, you know, when the players are off the pitch technically or there's no play going on, then I'm not against a little bit of booing, but certainly not during the sort of passage of play. But it does let, you know, as fans, we always say, you know, we contribute to their wages. We know what it's like without the fans. You know, they say, oh, what would it be like without the fans? We know we've had two seasons almost without fans. You know, we're entitled as paying fans to say what you think, and that's one of the easiest ways to do it. Just don't do it, like I say, during the game. But did you think that affected the players and Brendan? And it's not something that Leicester fans do an awful lot.
No.
You know.
No. You're right. It could have been almost like the fans drawing a line in the sand and saying, look, you know, this is what we actually think. And there's not, yeah, well done. Enjoy it. there's not a lot that, that fans can do. They can either stay away or they can boo, I guess. You know,
yeah.
The silent treatment doesn't really work in a ground, does it? And say, right, I'm not going to cheer. You get swept up in the emotion of it. So, you know, I don't agree with it. I, you know, personally, I wouldn't boo. You know, I think I would have to be, you know, forcibly, you know, something would really have to happen for me to get to that level. But some fans, that's the only thing they've got in their armory. To let them know that this isn't good enough, it's not acceptable. And the fans, as I said before, and I said it in the pre-Legia Warsaw game, the fans will accept most things. What they won't stand for is a lack of effort or a perception of effort.
Yes.
And you saw from the off last night, they were into it. It was almost like they'd been given that that message, go out and show that you're hungry.
I mean, you can't say boo to a player on social media these days without, you know, someone is, oh, that's not right. You can't say that. And you can't say this. That's the woke world we live in at the moment. And I think it is a way of, like I say, you support the team for me while they are playing.
Yeah.
You know, after the match, we cheer. Let's face it. If they win, they get a great round of applause coming off the pitch and they'll deserve it. And I think we've got every right to boo. And it is our way of letting them know sort of how we feel. How else do we get that across, you know, if we don't? And let's hope they take it on board. And then next time it won't happen. Yeah. Facebook user here says Brendan's press conference after last night was quite reassuring that the counter press will be played like that going forward, to higher up the pitch quicker. Well, we can but hope, can't we?
Well, it was interesting. You know, obviously we'll never know how different that game would have been if Johnny Evans had played, had not sort of felt a muscle tweak. Daniel Amati, I thought Daniel Amati had a really good game, to be honest. And again, probably things that you don't see on the cameras is that he's, there we go. He's quite vociferous as well. He was barking orders around and telling people where to be. And and pulling out, having a go at Soyuncu, you know, other players as well. And was really, really vocal, which was great to see. He's sort of growing in confidence that he's had a run of games. And let's not forget, you know, we'll hark back to it. He was player of the tournament in a previous African Cup of Nations. And you're not getting that if you're not a decent player. So maybe he's just had to be given his head a little bit. You know, he still makes the odd mistake, but then, you know, show me a defender that doesn't, or a central defender that doesn't.
Yeah.
But he looks more reassured. He reads the game pretty well, and he was making some good covering tackles. Obviously, I think, you know, Fofana stepped straight back into that, but he was moving the ball a lot quicker than Johnny Evans would move the ball. And, you know, part of me thinks, you know, I'd be quite happy to stick with them as a central defensive pairing again on at the weekend.
I don't think, Amati. I said after the match, you know, Amati is probably my first name I'd write down in that whatever defensive back line I'm going for. The first name I'd be putting down at the moment is Amati, and that shows how far he's come. But yes, I think, you know, I suppose when you're getting the odd game here and there and you're trying to tell a Turkish international what to do, he's going to say, well, you know, you hardly play. How do you know, sort of thing? But like you say, he gets that confidence because he is being given a run of games, you know.
Yeah. No, I thought he had a really solid game, you know, not spectacular, but really solid. So, I say, and I'd personally stick with them for the Watford game.
Definitely. And apparently it's Brad, his Facebook user. He wasn't signed in. One job, Brad. One job. and you fail at it. What am I saying? Hi, David. How are you doing? Nice to see you. How the devil are you? So, our head-to-head against Watford. Mm. 12 times we played them in the Premier League. We've got 7 wins. I mean, we're definitely the stronger of the two teams there, but I think you can probably, you know, see how they've been sort of coming up and down recently. A couple of draws in there. But we have won six at home, and Watford haven't won any away at all. So that bodes well for the game. And last season, they got the draw in the return, but most people get something off us towards the end, weren't they? No, in fact, that's wrong, actually, isn't it? That's not last season, is it?
2019 and 2020 there, no. So it would have been.
So, yes. So I've got to kind of feel hopeful, but going into the match, that's the form. The form's pretty even, in fairness. You know, they have got within their armoury there, and these are just obviously Premier League results. This isn't taking in any cup games or Europe. But they have got, like you said there, the Man United, Everton. Apart from the Liverpool game, which in fairness was Claudio's first one, they've only lost by the odd goal to Southampton and Arsenal. And we have had those couple of batterings. And my worry is that, as so often this season, we seem to have a good performance and then Brendan goes and changes things. Very similar to the Great Escape year under Nigel.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting what he goes with. I mean, I think that formation that he played in terms of the front three and a one was he went the same way, didn't he? I think in the previous game that didn't work, just went back to a one up front. But I think he has to sort of stick with that. You know, I think it gives us more. I don't think he can go back to a five. It has worked at times, you know, which is a frustrating thing. But against certain teams, if you're coming up against a team who are not particularly going to come out, they're going to look to hit us on the break. So you've got to go with a four and a four as the back four, Ndidi, and then another four or five, whatever it is up front in terms of the formation, how he goes. But I think he's got to do that. He's got to give Maddison his head again. He looked a lot more like his old self. And what you notice was that when Maddison had the ball, he had more options because he had three in front of him. He had Luckman, he had Barnes, and he had Daka, all making decent runs for him. When he plays with that five, if the wing backs don't get back, don't get forward, then he hasn't got the options up there. And a player like Maddison needs options in front of him, you know, to either take players away for himself or for him to try and thread a pass through. So there was definitely an improvement there from Maddison. So he's definitely going to be in. I've still got some doubts around Samari about his pitch coverage. It's bizarre because at times there was one occasion last night where he didn't get the ball, but he made a fantastic run, sprinted out into space down the right hand side, didn't get the ball. But then other times he's just ambling about, not really breaking sweat to close people down. So I'm still not sure what kind of player he is, to be honest. And I thought Dewsbury Hall gave us a lot more pitch coverage when he came on. He may get his chance in this game as well. But I think it's going to be tight from Watford. I don't think they're going to come out. And again, it's going to be one of those games where the first goal is really important, you know, that we need to get it to draw them out of it. Otherwise, as you've seen, they've lost a couple, just 1-0. They're not shipping lots of goals at the moment. So if they get their noses in front, then we know that Claudio is a master at closing out games. That run of five, was it 1-0 victories in a row that we had?
Yeah,
you know, you can't be giving them the first goal.
The Italians know how to defend, don't they?
Yeah.
Talking about Samari, do you think, you know, sometimes when you get two players and they just don't gel together, you know, like everybody used to say with Lampard and Gerrard, you can't play them together for England. But do you think we can't play Samari and Ndidi together? And Ndidi, you know, like you said, I've written down here, like, you know, Ndidi and Kieran Dewsbury Hall, is that a better option than Ndidi and Samari?
I think so, but then you do get in that sort of catch-22 situation in that they can't work out the best way to play together if they don't play together. You know, yeah. if, you know, in some ways, if they could work it where it allowed one allowed the other to go forward, then that might work. You know, that, you know, Wilf's no idiot when he goes forward, but sometimes he's got his defensive duties. But Samari, I'm not sure about. As I say, I said before, the Legia game, he's better viewing the game in front of him, so coming from a little bit deeper and spotting runs. But it, for me, it's just that focus on the urgency to close people down, which if we're going to start going back to our, a high press and an aggressive press, he needs to get on board with quickly. Otherwise, he's going to be out.
Andrew says here, and this leads me on to my next point quite nicely. He says, still can't understand why he plays two defensive midfielders, I suppose, as in Sumare and Ndidi. For me, though, I mean, Maddison is best for me when he's given his head a little bit, you know, and he can go. And I think he had a bit of that last night. I think he was sort of had that bit of freedom. And some players, they are better like that, you know. Gascoigne, you couldn't tie him down into a Glenn Hoddle. They have to be allowed to sort of roam, and maybe, you know, having the two defensive midfielders allows him to do that. Where if we have another attacking midfielder on the pitch, and I don't know whether I would actually say Tielemans is an out and out attacking midfielder, but maybe, you know, if we lose the ball, it does kind of, you know, leave Ndidi like, you know, the Zulu film. Everybody's coming at him. He's stuck there on his own.
I mean, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because we all clamoured for the two up front. And that means really you either lose a 10 or you lose your width. So what it looked like, he'd obviously gone back to almost forming a little diamond with the front four, that you've got Dakar in front through the middle, Maddison in behind him, and then two wider players, shall we say, who were quite happy to come in field in Barnes and Luckman as well. But I think the two, I'm not a big fan of the two DMs either. I don't like it when England do it. I think the only way you can play it is if one of them has a bit more freedom to go forward, the same way that West Ham do it, for instance. So Souček is still classed as a defensive midfielder, but not as much as Declan Rice. But both of them cover each other, and they do go forward, and they'll come out with the ball, whereas your traditional defensive midfielders will just sit in, win it, and give it to someone else. I think if you've got players who are comfortable in carrying the ball, then you can make it work. If you haven't, then all you end up with is two players just sat there giving it to the players in front, and then there's not enough support. You've got to get players forward and get more people in the box, and it's something that I think we've lacked. Numbers in the box throughout this season, and it's something that I don't think we've had for quite a while in terms of getting the right number of players forward at any one time.
I mean, when Brendan first came in and he took over from Puel, we did seem to have this exciting football back again, and we seemed to almost have taken steps backwards. But you know, we spoke sort of before Chelsea, then post Chelsea, but before Warsaw. And we were saying about Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea. He said, this is my formation. I'm sticking to this. This is what I'm doing. You worry about me. Mm-hmm. Where we've said, you know, Brendan tends to sort of overthink things. And, you know, maybe he should just concentrate on us being the attacking and let everybody else worry about us for a change.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, for me, I would love the sort of the if you like, three up front, you know, with whether it be Vardy or Dakar and Iheanacho, and then Maddison in that free role behind. But you've got to have, you know, because Tielemans knows when to go forward, but he knows when to come back. And Ndidi, I don't like Ndidi in our own penalty box, because he does tend to sort of, his hands are sort of everywhere. And it was unfortunate, and he's totally forgiven, because obviously he went and made it fair by getting one up the other end. But you could almost see, there's certain things you could almost see happening, and Ndidi giving away a handball is one of those things. It is almost as regular as a Frank Sinclair own goal, for those of you that are old enough to remember.
I think I watched it back, and I think there was a little deflection off Soyuncu that sort of took it away from him. But
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that his body shape wasn't right for defending that ball, that's for sure.
No.
But and it was one of those that as soon as you saw it, you knew it was going to be given. And you could tell by the player's body language, nobody argued against it either.
No,
and Casper was unfortunate.
He was. I still don't know how, why when you're doing that, and he got to it, and maybe I'm asking too much of him, but, you know, if you're going to hit it at that sort of angle there, push it out that way.
I think it was a fairly poor penalty, so it sort of came into his body a little bit more than he thought, so he almost had to pull his hands back in. And that's why. So it wasn't wide enough for it to push away. It was either going straight back out or the way it went. So it was unfortunate, but fair play. The guy reacted quicker than we did.
Well, I'm going to say at the end of the day, that's what you want of your players, isn't it? To react like that. Let's just have a look here. Season so far, I know you're always confused by these stats, aren't you?
Well, the bottom one, yeah.
The bottom one confused is you. But let me just bring that up bigger on my other screen so I can read that out. The chances created per match, I don't know how they work these things. There's be some way they work it out. But, you know, you've got to say, really, there's got to be goals tomorrow because, you know, one clean sheet for us and none for Watford. Surely there has got to be goals.
You would think so, wouldn't you? Although, part of me thinks that you've put the kiss of death on that now, Chris.
Well, I'd take a 1-0.
I'd take a 1-0. I'd take 3 points, that's for sure. Because when you look at the table, we can't afford to drop any more ground, let alone looking over a shoulder. You know, that sort of gap starts getting a little bit bigger. So we got to keep ourselves in touch with, as I say, no, but I don't think anybody's got grandeurs of the top four this season. But you want to be sitting around the sort of 7th, 8th. And you can see that just a few games, you know, a decent run of games and decent results pulls you up the table. I mean, I'm almost shocked to see that Wolves are sitting in 6th place, who seemed to me, I thought they had a shocking start to the season, but all of a sudden, I think they've had 2 or 3 wins, a bit of consistency, and they're up in 6th place. And so we need to put a run of games together now, not just ones.
The interesting thing is the average goal scored per match, but you could say the Everton and the Man United matches for them up that. But that's dead on, exactly the same, 1.33. But like we said before, 6 points off the relegation, 6 points off Europe.
Yeah.
We are just sat in the middle. And do you think... You know, I mean, Brendan's come out and he said he didn't want the Newcastle. You know, he said at the start he doesn't want Arsenal, doesn't want Tottenham. He's now saying he doesn't want Man United. Would he have been coming out saying those things if we were again this time last year sat in third and 9 more points? Or does he kind of realise, well, hang on, I'm not the hot property that I was before?
Maybe. I think you saw by, you know, his performance after the game last night that I think there's a certain amount of ego around Brendan. And I think Brendan's biggest fan is Brendan. But, you know, he's a good manager. You know, let's not, you know, I know it's easy to say, right, he should be getting more out of the players and he should. But he's a decent manager and he's a decent coach. But I still think he's got a lot to prove to get to the point where he would be under serious consideration for one of those top jobs. As I said before, he hasn't got a good European pedigree for a start, so he needs to show that. And he needs to show how he reacts when his team has a bit of a blip, and we've been having a blip. So, you know, if he can pull us out of it and start getting us up and around that European... places again, then it's good for his CV. But yeah, I think Brendan knows he's onto a pretty good thing here. He's got fantastic facilities. You know, by and large, the fans are with him. We know, I think, or we from what we seem to see, you know, the board are with him, top's with him. They think they've got the right person to bring through, sort of, and develop youth players. So I think he knows that he's on a good thing. And at some point, I'm sure he'll fancy himself for a top job. But I still think he's got a bit of proving to do here.
I think he has, but a little bit of me thinking, maybe he is thinking long-term project here. You know, I don't. I think we've seen and we'll never see the likes of Wenger stay at Arsenal and Fergie's at Man United again. But you know, maybe he will be with us for a bit. And said he's going to be singing Claudio's name from minute one to prove a point. I hope that point isn't that you're going to go on to X Factor, Ant. Are you taking a box with you? So you can stand on it. I hope you're not going to Southampton, Ant, because you might bump into me because I'm going to be there. So and maybe you find out I'm not that tall either. Be welcome along. Anyway, nice to have you along. B-Crom, we're going to win the Europa League. Do you know something? Stranger things have happened. You know, we are Leicester. Well,
particularly at this club, yeah.
Yes, you know, it could go, well, we could end up it being a complete reverse. And we come, you know, this time, last season, Man City didn't have a very good start. Towards the end, Liverpool had a bad run, but came just good right at the end. So who knows? Who knows?
When you look at the stature of teams that have won this in recent years, you know, Villarreal won it last year. You wouldn't say that they were any Spanish giant. I know Sevilla have won it a few times, you know, yeah, a bigger club, but, you know, not a giant club as well. So there are precedents for a less fanciful team to win it. And it's the one thing now that's missing from our CV, a European trophy. So who knows?
But like you say, we'll get Barcelona and
or Dortmund. Dortmund are definitely down. You know,
they're definitely down now.
I tell you what will be typical. This would be so Leicester City, is that we do end up second, we get into the playoffs, and yet again we get knocked out by Atletico Madrid, who have come down from the
Champions League. Are they down as well?
They're in danger of finishing third. No. So that table is, I think it's either Benfica, Atletico Madrid, or Milan are coming down to join us.
I may be making this up, but I thought I'd heard that whoever finishes third in the Champions League has another playoff. Just to see who stays up and who goes down. I think they
play whoever's second in these.
Do they right
in the Europa League? Yeah,
right.
So yeah, we could get Dortmund, Barcelona, Benfica, Atletico Madrid. Who knows? So the easiest way, just win the group.
It is exactly. Although talking of Barcelona, we're going to move on, and we have got Leicester's very own Lionel Messi, because it's hard to choose. We've been changing this a lot during the season, and I'm sure we're going to plump on one thing eventually. But asking you to try and pick a Leicester team that's going to turn up is almost like asking you to give me the winning lottery numbers. You know, I think for any team, you can't tell now who's going to be playing and who's not. And at the last minute, somebody gets injured, and we've got this squad now, so things are rotated. One to watch is always obviously an option, but this is something we used to do last season, not in quite the detail we did, but foot in both camps, a Leicester player who has appeared for both teams. Now, this gentleman I have approached to actually come on one of the shows, because he does punditry work. He couldn't come on tonight. He said, I can't work with Craig. but he may be available Monday. I don't know if he will or not, but fingers crossed, we might be able to get him on the show on Monday. And that's a certain Mr. David Connolly, looking very much like Kevin Phillips there. But believe me, it is David Connolly. You remember him?
I do remember him, and I would put a lot of money on that being Kevin Phillips in the Watford shirt, that's for sure. Well,
I would, but it certainly came up as. I had to look at that, and I couldn't find any better picture, to be honest with you. So I went for it, you know. But what are your memories of David Connolly?
I remember him, I don't remember him vividly. I mean, what's he got 17 in 49 games for us in the 2004-2005 season. But I remember him as a busy player, you know, and I quite liked him because he was one of those who was always on the go.
Yes.
You know, we had a few strikers around that time like that. Paul Dickov, classic, you know, not big in stature, but put themselves around the pitch and were always liable to get on the end of something. Matty Fryett being another one.
Mm.
So David Connolly, I liked. I thought he was a very good finisher. I mean, it was interesting looking back at his record. I mean, he started at Watford from 95 to 97, but then was sold to Feyenoord. He got a move over to Feyenoord and went into the Dutch league. But Feyenoord sent him out on loan to a team called Excelsior, who I think are in the Eredivisie at the moment.
Right.
But the record that he had there was absolutely phenomenal. And I'll just check this to get this right. He played 42 games for Excelsior on loan from Feyenoord. 45 games, sorry. Scored 42 goals in 45 games.
Wow. Now,
in any top league, that is going some.
Yes.
And that got him a move, and he went off to... we sold him to Wigan, but when he went to Wimbledon and got 42 in 63 games there. So he was a decent finisher, a decent striker with a good record. And he was one of those that doesn't get talked about a lot as a Leicester City legend because he wasn't here long enough, but... The time that he was, I remember him very fondly indeed.
Yes, he was an annoying to the opposition defences, wasn't he? I'm not convinced with that picture, but that's Google Images for you. But it would be great if we can get him on. I will definitely ask him about his time abroad. Can I just say, are you an ABBA fan?
I do like
another
a bit
trick
of
question. You're like, you know what Super Trooper is, don't you?
I do. It's a spotlight.
Yeah. Because whoever's operating your Super Trooper, can you tell them to either leave it on or leave it off? Because every time you're on stage. Yeah, you're on stage, and as you walk around, the light's following you, but it doesn't keep up with you when you sit back. It's not like you can...
I'm like an old thespian. I'm always looking for my light. That's what I'm looking for. It's either light or a prompt is what I need.
Thespian, yes, I'm sure there's something else we could add to that. But that's a couple of other players that you mentioned that have had a foot in both camps. Jordan Stewart,
yeah, who's the one that springs to mind for me that we sold to Watford. And he had quite a good career at Watford, to be honest. Mm. Looking at it, I checked back in that, and I think he played over 100 games for both clubs. He didn't have a particularly good goal scoring record, but then I think he was sort of almost like an early type of wing back, you know, that he liked to get forward. And it's funny because I was listening to Radio Leicester on the way back from the game yesterday, you know, waiting for them because they promised that they were going to speak to Brendan Rodgers and then spent 30 minutes talking about the sacking of the women's team's manager.
Yeah, Morgan,
Nothing against the women's team, but that was dull chat, I can tell you.
just filling dead air, do you think, waiting for Brendan?
Geez, not half. But they were talking about Jordan Stewart because apparently, I'm not sure whether this happened in the game last night, but they were talking about Timothy Castagne and his shoulder popping out.
Yes.
So we couldn't tell at the ground that actually happened. Mm. But I think it was Matt Piper who was doing the co-commentary and he was talking about Jordan Stewart and saying he was exactly the same, used to happen all the time. And they're saying that there is an operation that they can do these days which sort of shortens the ligaments, which stops it popping out so frequently. But with that comes a bit of time on the sideline. So I think they're going to try and manage it, but I didn't know that had happened at all. So it didn't really notice it when we were in the ground.
No. I'm very quickly Googling it there, but I think he's had quite a few injuries, Jordan Stewart, so yeah. I can't find that particular one. And there was one other that you mentioned as well, wasn't there?
Who was that one? Kevin Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah, Kevin Phillips. It's a shame we haven't got a photo.
Well, we can bring his picture up if you want. That's why I had him on there.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You think I threw this together, don't you?
Right. I mean, Kevin Phillips. There he is. Look.
There he is.
It's funny because he looks a lot like a young David Connolly as well.
Doesn't he? Google thinks so.
But I mean, what a great striker Kevin Phillips was. You know, he was only with us for a short period of time, but did a decent job. But in his prime, when he was at Sunderland, you know, phenomenal striker. And obviously worked with our strikers because he was on the coaching staff for quite a while afterwards as well.
He did, indeed. He went on to Derby, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, I've heard him on the radio a few times. I think he wants to get into management as well. But again, just one of those strikers who's diminutive, but there's an old adage that says that the goal doesn't move. So there's a lack of those kind of strikers around at the moment who just enjoy scoring goals, you know.
Yes.
Going back to the days of Lineker, it didn't matter. It will take as much pleasure from a one-yard tap-in as he would from anything outside the box. And
only because he probably didn't score that many from outside the box.
Phillips was one of those players who, and David Connolly were the same, and Dickov the same. I've seen some recent clips of Dickov and some goals that he scored for us. Their only thought was, can I get a shot off? You know, none of this farting around, you know, tricks and God knows what. Can I get one touch and get a shot off? Chances are, if you keep doing that, you're going to score a few.
Do you remember Cramerich?
Yes,
Cramerich. I mean, I can remember in that season before we actually started to win towards the end that our strikers were almost scared to have a shot. Yeah. It was like, I've got the ball. There's the goal. Oh, let me pass it to somebody else. Yeah. And he used to come on. And the thing that used to impress me with that, he would shoot.
Yeah.
You know, and okay, you know, maybe 7-8 times out of 10, it went up into row X or whatever you, but at least he was having the shots. And that's what you can ask your strikers to do, because the more shots you have, the more chance you've got of scoring.
Yeah. I mean, Cramerich was the right player at the wrong time, wasn't he?
Yes.
He needed a manager who would believe in him and give him a chance. And he went on and he's done fantastic in Hoffenheim in the Bundesliga. So
he has,
one that we missed.
Yeah. Dorco, how the devil are you, sir? Our fans will give Claudio a massive dilly-ding, dilly-dong chance of appreciation. I'm sure. And I hope they do. I hope they do.
Of course, I can't see anything other than that.
Yeah. The guy at the BBC said, you know, will you ever get a statue of Claudio? And I think Leicester are really bad at this, of honouring people. You know, we'll name a restaurant after him in the thing. But, you know, Gordon Banks, our only ever World Cup winner, no sign of a statue, but at Stoke, they've got a statue for him.
It'd be interesting to see if they build something into the new stand or the new the changes that are planned. Because it's a big site, you know, there's chances to put quite a few statues around the place to honour people. But there should definitely be something that honours that whole Premiership winning team, in my view.
If you're going to have a, let's say, somebody mentioned earlier, and I think it was Andrew, said, yeah, Claudio won it, but we know who built the team. Well, yes, we do. But unfortunately, you remember the person that won it. Would you then also have one of Brendan because of the FA Cup?
Not yet. I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? Winning the Premier League was unique. You know, everybody's got a chance of the FA Cup. You know, you get a favourable draw. I'm not saying we did get a favourable draw, because we didn't really. We had a few tough games in there. But no way is that the level of achievement of actually winning the Premier League. So so I think Brendan just has to wait.
We did have four previous attempts that didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's... there's every chance that Brendan will probably lobby for a statue of Brendan.
Oh, nice one. Nice one. Anyway, score prediction. As soon as you got it right the other night, and I'll give you that, you did. You went for 3-1, although I think I forced you into choosing it. The other night on the prediction show, I actually went for a draw for the weekend. But I've sat down and thought about it, and I've what I do on the on the weekend on the prediction show with Steve Linex and Brad, I never actually do the same thing when I'm doing my score predictions here. So I've gone for 2-1 to Leicester, which is also what Ian Marshall and Jerry Taggart have gone for. Steve Linex, who we joke about his predictions, but he's actually beating me in the prediction show, he's gone for a draw. Steve Walsh has gone for a 2-0. And I did actually say to him that, you know, I mean, I'm pleased that he thinks we'll keep a clean sheet. But he did say that he's got faith that this is the new beginning for us. I said another one. And then Ian Wilson pops up just as I was saying that. I went, oh, 3-0. And I said, well, if it's 3-0, I'll invite you all down to the South Coast and buy you all a pint. So don't go for that. Hope it's not 3-0.
Right. Okay. Well, everybody who's watching has heard that. So
yes, because ex-players can put the drink away quite easily, can't they?
I mean, you started that piece by talking about me getting the score right for last night's game, but it almost sounded like you were trying to take some credit for it as well, Chris. I mean, come on.
No. In fairness, you went for the final score, 3-1. You've been doing it for, I think, about 62 weeks. So it had to come right one time. No, in fairness, you went 3-1. It was 3-1. Credit where credit's due, sir. Excellent.
Thank you.
What are you going to go for this weekend?
I'm on a roll. I'm on a roll. And no one else has gone for 3-1, so I'm going to stick with it.
You're going to stick with your 3-1 again. And why not? Why not? You know, you're on a roll of one. Exactly. Let's hope it continues. I can't see a clean sheet. I'm sorry. I'd love to say yes, but I just can't, to be honest with you. Upcoming games, just to finish on, here we go. After Watford, we've got Southampton midweek. Southampton at night away.
Ooh.
And I'm going. Last time that happened, a certain 9-0. We've then got the Messiah, Stephen Gerrard, hosting us on the Sunday, followed by that big game at Napoli, then Newcastle, then Tottenham. It gets quite tough coming up to Christmas, doesn't it? A lot of games coming thick and fast. And we've got the Carabao Cup in there as well.
True. It'll be interesting to see when we go to Villa Park and... if Steven Gerrard slips over in front of Brendan Rodgers again, won't it?
I like it. That would be not. Or if he's not going to, Brendan, please just trip him up. Yes. One Leicester fan run on the pitch, trip Gerrard up. I know you're going to get banned for life, but take one for the team, guys.
But you're right. I mean, it's there's a lot of games coming up. I think, again, they were talking last night saying we've got something like, I think, 10 games in 40 days or something ridiculous like that. So, you know, we may have to temper our sort of reactions if we get one or two bad results in the middle of that, because that's a lot of games on not a huge squad at the moment. So, we've got to be ready for it to be a bit rollercoastery.
I think because of, you know, we've got Liverpool in that time period, who are actually playing really well. We always seem to get Liverpool and Man City Boxing Day again, although even under Puel we managed to win that fixture a few seasons ago.
I'm lobbying for the African Cup of Nations to bring the date forward of when they request the players to go... off to their national countries, because apparently the last game they're allowed to play is the one where Liverpool play us. So unfortunately, Mane and Salah will still both be playing. And the day after is the day that they go off to the African Cup of Nations. So
is that in the calendar or in the league?
I think it's the calendar. I think that's the last game they're allowed to play. And then the country... Right. I mean, but it's something that we need to be aware of now, because obviously we're going to lose Ndidi, we're going to lose Iheanacho. I know Nigeria were trying to get Lookman to go and play for... Sorry?
Dhaka.
Yeah, Zambia haven't qualified.
Have they not? Right.
No, so Dhaka will stay. But I'm not sure about Amati as well. So we could lose two, we could lose four, you know, and on not a strong squad, that could affect us. So we need to try and get some points in the bank.
When you say not a strong squad, though, I mean, you, we, hopefully by then you, we might be seeing the return of JJ and possibly Fofana. If he doesn't go to Chelsea, of course, in January. So have we not got a reasonable... I mean, it's the strongest squad we've had for quite a while.
Okay, it's a strong squad, but you take those players out of it and it's considerably weakened. You know,
As is Liverpool's, if you take out...
Exactly. So it's going to have a big effect on quite a few teams when this happens. But with us, in terms of what we've got at the moment, in terms of that, if you take those four players out, I mean, Amati, as we've already talked about, I'm going to say maybe somebody can check whether he's likely to go or not. But you take him out of it. Brendan has come out and already said we can't afford to lose any more centre-halves. You know, if he's going, we're losing one. Indeed, he is irreplaceable. Anybody who goes in there is second best. And Iheanacho, as we know, is quite capable of banging some goals in. Obviously, excuse me, he's not at the level that he was last season, but he's not been getting the pitch time. But he's a valuable option off the bench for us. So, and there's no real replacements there at the moment until we start getting everybody back. So,
you know,
the more successful you are, you're going to get more international calls.
Exactly. But I mean, if Amati was to go, we've got Vestergaard.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. You know, and the only person I think he reminds me very much of Ian Ormondroyd. You know, he's sort of, they were both around the 6 foot seven, but when they were jumped, they were like 6 foot one.
Somehow. Very true. Very true. Do you think, I was a little bit tongue in cheek with that comment, but this one, in all seriousness, come January, I think, do we get a chance to rename our Premier League squad?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
we do, so we can bring Mendy back in.
Exactly the point I was going to make. I know he wants to leave now because he is really, really not happy at that. And I get it because he had, I think, an excellent season. And when he was called upon, he played a bit like Amati. Once he got regular time again, he was playing very well. But he would surely, if we are going to lose Ndidi to the African Cup of Nations, Mendy would be, for me, an obvious replacement.
I would say potentially and obvious if he was in the squad already. There is no way that he can be match fit. I mean, I don't think he's been playing. Whether he's been playing under 23s, I'm not sure. But there's no way that he can be match fit, you know, by not even being involved in the squad. So it would be a massive, massive gamble to throw him back in, I think. I can only see him leaving in January, and I would imagine it would not be a surprise if he's gone for me.
I suppose if he does, it gives Choudhury the...
Well, you've got Choudhury, you know. Yeah. We've got Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. You know, there are other players underneath as well that we're seeing... You know, I think it's Sammy Braybrook or whatever. There's some young kids in there who may start being shown on the bench as well. And, you know,
there's a few names I didn't recognise last night.
Yeah, there's only one of, only takes one or two of those to actually grab their opportunity. And who knows?
It's true. And I mean, as much as I haven't been the biggest Choudhury fans, I think if he keeps his head, to me, he's always had this red card in him. But as long as that can be tempered, then he could be a very, very good player for us.
He could be. I think he's got very good pitch coverage. You know, he doesn't get around the pitch. Sometimes that works against him because he hasn't got the awareness of when to go and when not to. He's a little bit like a kid in the playground and can follow the ball a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And that only comes with experience, unfortunately. But in terms of a tough tackling, pitch covering defensive midfielder, then yes, is there? Yeah. It'll be interesting to see whether there's any plans to dip into the transfer market ourselves.
Yeah. Going to end on this one, but a quick last question here from Andrew. Would you sacrifice the League Cup to concentrate on the Prem and the Europa League? For me, I don't think that's a decision that we will make, because I think we've gone as far as we're going to go in the League Cup, and I would be very surprised if we get past Liverpool, because I believe it's at Liverpool, isn't it, as well?
It is at Liverpool. You know? The only thing I would say is that the fact that they have also got a hell of a lot of games coming up, and they're probably even more likely to rest players than we are for that. Yeah. However, they do have a lot of good youngsters, as was shown the other night in their Champions League performance.
Yeah. So would you sacrifice the League Cup?
I don't like sacrificing anything, but yes, probably. Mm. You know, if you have to, if you're putting my neck on the block there, Andrew, then I guess so.
Yes. My only worry with that is, you know, if we do put out all the youngsters and possibly lose it, it is another cup we can win. You know?
But on the flip side, you've got to say, yeah, you know, do you go with a strong team and you still go out because it's away at Liverpool? So it is a difficult one. And I think if we were in a period where we didn't have so many matches, I think you could probably get away with putting in quite a strong team out there. But I don't. Yeah. I think Brendan's hand will be forced literally by the number of games that one falls right in the middle of.
Yes. It's a weird time to have it. I don't remember that happening before, but no. It's going to be a funny few years. As Dorco says, we're going to be losing a few weeks for the World Cup. So yeah, next season.
Well, it starts really early. I think it starts on August the 7th next season. Start as well.
Wow. So you going tomorrow, I presume, so have a good one.
I shall be there on Sunday. Yeah.
And Sunday, I mean. Sorry.
I shall give Claudio your regards.
Please do. And you're not being interviewed after the game, so we're going to go and win this.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I only get pulled up when we've lost. Yeah.
I should measure you and say, like, are you there just in case we win? But as always, Craig, my wise old owl, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your insights. And stay safe and enjoy the game and get your dilly-dongs out.
I will be indeed. Cheers, Chris. Thanks, everyone. Cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye. Now, there's a thought for you for the weekend. Craig with his dilly-dongs out for the lads. What more could you want? What more could you want? I should stop it. My mind's going back to Bailey's. let's move on quickly. Guys, thank you so much. We're going to be back on Sunday. We are, and we will be back with this. Four 4:30 post-match, me and Brad will be there discussing hopefully 3 points and also the return of this man. And I've got to be honest with you, it'll be nice to see him again, a true gent, and we will never forget what he did.
I remember what I want to remember.
I did ask him if he remembered Craig, and I think that was the answer that he gave. Guys, it is literally less than one calendar month to... The strange old man with the white beard trying to break into your house and leave you presents. Have you got your letters off yet? Don't be late. See you tomorrow. Sorry, see you Sunday at 4:30. Thanks to Craig. Thanks for joining in. Take care. Stay safe. Good night now.
Thank you for watching. Have a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year.
Hello, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City.
Come on, you foxes.
Hi, this is Chris from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for watching and listening. Have a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Don't do anything I wouldn't enjoy.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping. And you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.